Production support comes from Smithville, a locally owned business serving central and southern Indiana since 1922, with residential and business internet, voice, and security services. Smithville, local pride, global technology. Information at smithville.net.
Welcome to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg, editor of the Herald Times, and today we're going to talk with a group of four graduating seniors from local high schools. It's an annual show, and Mary Catherine and I always enjoy getting together with these high school seniors, and this year we have four, three from Bloomington South and one from New Tech High School. From New Tech is Miles Ryder. He's here. He's a senior. Also from South, Callie Ricas, Robert Rickert, and Boyd Haley. So we're going to be talking with these four folks about what they're up to. So you can join us at 855-0811, 877-285-9348, and you can join a live chat at wfiu.org/noonedition. I'm sorry for that little
– No, I had a light bulb that went off. I realized we're neighbors.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So
yeah, Mary Catherine was making – she was making hand
Yeah, I was gesticulating wildly, and it threw Bob off.
It did throw me off. I thought something was wrong. But
this is such a great show. We love doing this every year. We don't have a whole lot of shows that we do over and over again, but this one we just love doing every year, and it is one, as Bob mentioned, that we really look forward to because we end up learning so much from you guys, and we love finding out what your school experience has been in this community. And, you know, everybody pays taxes, and so everybody has an interest in how you guys turned out. And so we get a lot of positive feedback from the show. So we do it every year.
Yep. So we're going to try to evaluate how you turned out. That's the whole idea.
Kind of want to know if there's any future presidents in the community.
That's right. And usually there are, you know, about four.
People I'd nominate, certainly.
Right. Yeah. All right. So let's start with Miles from New Tech. Miles, thanks for being here. And New Tech High School has been sort of it's an experiment in some ways. You've been there all 4 years?
Yes, I have.
Yes, so, and you're the second senior class at New Tech, right? So
yeah.
What's your experience been like there?
My experience has been absolutely fantastic. We do all project-based learning and teamwork and stuff. So we learn in kind of a real-world way where we learn as we do the task. Mm-hmm. And many of our projects, even from freshman year, are actually done with the community, mm-hmm. Doing projects for local businesses to help them rebrand and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So give us an example of somebody you've worked with.
My freshman year, I know that there was one project where we worked with CASA.
Mm-hmm.
And
court-appointed special advocates.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we were designing, I believe it was a video to play at some of their events that overviewed what they are and what they do and all that kind of stuff to have at their booth at some event that they were going to be at.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And we should also, you and I were talking before the show, Miles, and you mentioned that you're in a unique position in that you started as a freshman at New Tech and you will graduate as a senior from New Tech, but you're the only class who can say that.
Well, last year's also.
Oh, last year's? Yeah. Okay. Well, I misunderstood then. I apologize. Okay. So
right.
Two groups will have done their full four at New Tech then before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And we were both the classes that had kind of the original staff and teachers and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we can still partially claim some things.
Right. And then New Tech's going to be – the name's going to change after this year. Do you know what it is? It's very long.
Yeah. It's going to be the Academy of Entrepreneurship and Science, a new technology school.
Okay.
All right.
We'll call it the Academy.
Yeah. Abbreviated as
– Well, thank the Academy
AC.
For that.
What's the acronym going to be for that?
I don't know. We'll figure that out. Well, that's – okay, Boyd. Boyd's on now. So we're going to talk about Boyd Haley. Boyd, what have you been involved with in high school?
I've been involved with a lot of different stuff, a lot.
Okay.
Not as much through the school, a lot more outside. I've been involved in like 4-H, mm-hmm. Junior leaders, club sports and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned you're a wrestler.
Yeah. I made it to state this year.
Congratulations.
I was top 16 in the 220 weight class.
Wow. That's
considering I was around 205 and everybody else was at 220.
So 4-H, now we were talking before about your family background. Some listeners in Monroe County probably know Pat Haley, who's Boyd's grandmother.
Yeah.
So you had no chance. You were definitely going to be going through 4-H, right?
Actually, I had the option.
Yeah.
My parents didn't push me into it, and I only made a 9-year member because I got into it a year late. And I wish they had pushed me into it because there was one overlay year where you can be in the little children's division in the community building, and there's one year where you could either stay in the children's division or you can go to 4-H. And I stayed in the children's division because I wanted to win. I thought, oh, this is my last year. I can beat all these little kids.
Strategic thinking. All right.
But I didn't get into 4-H, and I'm not going to make the 10-year member, which in 4-H is the – if you get to be the 10-year member, that's the pinnacle. Mm-hmm. You put in as much time as you can. You've gotten out of it as much as you can. And I really wish I could have.
Yeah. So you took it easy that first year, and now you're sorry.
I mean, right. I wish I could go back and change it. Yes. I really would.
So Boyd's a role model for those 8-year-olds out there listening. Yeah. I don't know that we have too many listening to us.
Probably not. They should be in school right now.
They should be. Let's hope so. And Callie Rikus is also from Bloomington High School South. So you're a performing arts student.
Huh? Yes.
So tell us about that.
I'm involved with a lot of community theater, but then through Bloomington South, I'm really involved with Theater South. We did How to Succeed this spring. It was our big musical. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So you're a singer and an actress?
I started off as a dancer, actually. Mm-hmm. I danced at IU Pre-College Ballet for most of my childhood, and then I started getting into musical theater as I got older.
Mm-hmm. All right. And last but not least, Rob Rickert. Robert, thanks for joining us today. You're going to go to Cornell. You're going to attend medical school?
That's the hope.
That's the plan?
Yeah.
Okay. So what have you been studying in high school that's going to get you there?
Oh, I've done a lot of biology class and math. It's definitely the two things I've focused on. So I think that'll play a big role, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's your – why have you decided to go that path? What interests you about that?
Oh, well, I mean, it's not set in stone or anything.
Yeah, sure.
But I guess I like doing – my dad's a doctor as well, and so I've met a lot of patients and stuff, and I've seen some of that stuff. And I think that's all interesting, and I could definitely see myself on that path because I would want to do something with science and people, but maybe not research so much.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Good. All right. If you have any questions out there, we're going to be talking with these four high school students your high school students for another couple of weeks. We're going to be talking with them, but you can call us at 855-0811 or 877-285-9348. You can also join a live chat at wfiu.org/noonedition.
When you get old like Bob and I are, you don't remember that much about high school necessarily, but I'm sure that this is a time of looking back for you guys over your last 4 years, and you're doing a lot of reminiscing and hopefully fondly. But I'd be interested to know, just as you go through that process, what things, what are you going to remember and take with you as maybe some moments that are turning points for you where, you figured out, gosh, I'm going to change direction, or you tried something that you hadn't planned on trying, but high school gave you that opportunity, or just any significant experience that you had that you think is really going to be something that when you're geezers like we are, you still remember. Anybody brave want to start?
Sure. I play a lot of Ultimate Frisbee, actually, and that's kind of a grassroots sport, I guess you could say. But Bloomington's got a really great community for that, and the team is relatively new. We have a Bloomington club team, high school team.
Mm-hmm.
I think had I grown up somewhere different, I definitely would have gotten that opportunity.
So, yeah, Ultimate Frisbee is probably not played that many places.
No. You got the Northwest and Minnesota region, mm-hmm. But those are the hotbeds.
So where do you play, and how do you play?
It's kind of like – it's pretty similar to soccer, except for once you receive the Frisbee, you can't move. But it's a pretty fast-paced game, and we just play down at the Bryan Park.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're not affiliated with any school, we can't go to either place.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue, but, it's
– And how many people are involved?
So there are 7 players on each side, so 14 overall.
Mm-hmm.
And since it is pretty fast-paced like soccer, there are more subs allowed, though, so – probably about like 14 on a team.
Right. Okay.
So.
That's neat. Boyd?
I have to think of when we wrestled, we made it up to state, and we were at Conseco. And I've never been down on the floor of Conseco. I went up to the state finals a couple of different years to see, you know, friends wrestle, see, you know, people that you've heard of throughout the year when you're wrestling. And I got into it when I was in seventh grade. Really, really bad seventh grade year. Got a lot better eighth grade year, went undefeated eighth grade. And then all the way through high school, I've just been progressively getting better. And I walked out there right before the finals round, and one of my friends was, like, warming up, and I just, like, looked up and looked around, and I had this realization that my high school career of wrestling was over.
Mm.
And it just kind of, after that, like, high school hasn't really been, you know, I've been building up to that. And it's kind of a really great summation for just being in high school to where, like, I've worked for these 4 years. I put in blood, sweat, tears, physically, mm-hmm. not just the metaphorical. our coach drives us pretty hard. But I put in all this work, and this is – I've made it to the end. And it was a really great just mm-hmm. ending for my high school.
Well, I have to ask you, since you're a wrestler and that's so important to you, about this – you've probably been following the decision to yeah. no longer wrestle in the Olympic Games. What do you think about that?
I think it's a really dumb decision mm-hmm. because – there's people out there that this is – that's their pinnacle. There is no thing past that. Mm-hmm. There is no – you know, there's no professional wrestling league unless you go out and do the – I mean, they have, like, individual tournaments in different countries and whatnot. But that is what you strive for. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the oldest sport. I mean, it is the oldest
right.
sport.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you take that out?
Mm-hmm.
It's still relevant in, like, over 190 countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Callie?
I think the moment that I'm definitely going to remember when I'm old and gray is we have a tradition in Theater South before every show. We do green room, and the first night the freshmen get to talk, the second night the sophomores, et cetera. And so we have four shows, and the last night of our musical this year was senior night, and all the seniors going around in a circle, and we talk, and everybody cries. And the show almost always starts late that night because we're backstage crying. But it was just a really, really sweet moment because everybody there, like, we all know each other through Theater South, but everybody there is also really involved in community theater, and we've just been in a million shows together. And a lot of those people, it's like, I'll never perform with you again. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a really bittersweet moment, mm-hmm. definitely.
Okay. All right, Miles.
For me, I think it would actually be right before I started high school when I actually made the decision to go to New Tech, because at the time it was a scary thing.
Like, right.
I only knew a couple people who were going to New Tech at the time, and most of my friends were going to North or South. So it was a big decision to leave what I knew education-wise and just take the chance on New Tech, and it really worked out. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made for myself.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that after we take this phone call. So we have a caller on the phone. Stan, go ahead.
Yes. I'd be interested in knowing or hearing what these four students think is the most important national city or state event or situation that's in their minds.
All right. So, yeah. Let's sort of take national first. I mean, when you watch TV or read the national news or look at you know, online, are there any issues that are particularly of concern to all of you? Miles, I'll start with you.
Well, there's lots of stuff going on right now, just national issues in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, personally, I think that one of the speeches I gave in one of my in my speech class this year at Ivy Tech was in favor of marriage equality, since that's been a really big issue lately. So that's definitely up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much going on.
Right. Sure. Who wants to go next? Callie?
Sure. For me, it's kind of like Miles. I think marriage equality is a huge thing that I've definitely been following closely, and really anything that has to do with people's rights. So marriage equality, abortion, the states that have been legalizing marijuana. I find all of that really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Boyd?
I think that stuff's interesting, but I'm more scared of, like, the outside world. I don't get the news channel anymore, and I'm really glad I don't, because I feel like I'd be really paranoid, and I'd just be like, oh, everybody's coming out to get us. And I don't know. I don't like where it's going, but I don't, as, you know, I'm just a high school student. I'm not quite sure what I want to do to try to change the way it's going yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, Rob?
Well, I've heard a lot about, you know, this gun control issue and all these incidents. I'd like to see how that plays out. You know, there have been a lot of tragedies recently, and it seems like they're increasing in number at least, so.
Did you all feel safe at school? I mean, when you read about these things, you know, I think the outside world wonders, you know, when there's a school shooting, for instance, what kind of impact that has on students who are actually in school.
Well, we actually had, like, that one threat at South, and I felt safe. I didn't know about it till long after it was passed and completely controlled with, and I think that the school has our best interest at mind.
And it just isn't something you ever think is going to happen to you.
Right.
So I definitely have felt safe just because it is a possibility, but I know that the, you know, odds of it happening at Bloomington South are low.
I talked to somebody who really actually had kind of had slow times during class. You know, your mind wanders, and had actually thought to make kind of a plan, like, what would I do if something, you know, happened? And I know that they do prepare you for that to some extent, but is that a place where your mind would ever travel?
Yeah, my mind actually has traveled there. You know, what are you going to do in this situation? That happened in government class right after the Sandy Hook incident.
All right. If you want to join us, phone us at 855-0811 in Bloomington, 877-285-9348 outside of the Bloomington area, and also you can join a live chat at wfiu.org/noonedition. I think following up on that question, are there watershed moments that you'll remember? You know, we all remember. I'm old enough to remember when John Kennedy was killed, and I was in the fifth grade, and, you know, that is something that I'll always remember, where I was when that happened. When you get to be older, you'll think, oh, yeah, I know where I was when X or Y happened. Are there certain events that you think may just stick with you forever? Like, you know, for other generations, the Challenger disaster, you know, when the shuttle blew up, or 9/11. And you guys, how old were you at 9/11?
Six.
They were little.
Right. So, you know, are there issues that you think will just stick with you?
I know for me, the Newtown shooting will definitely stick. I was a cadet teacher this year, and so I was actually at Templeton Elementary when the news broke of it, and I was going to pick my kids up from recess, and it was just really kind of hard because obviously they didn't have any idea, and it was really kind of scary to think about and really, really sad.
What happened after, I mean, in terms of the school, what happened that day?
The next day, I remember I came up, and they have the buzzer. All the elementary schools now have a buzzer, but normally the secretaries would know me and just see me and let me in. But I had to say who I was and what I was there for because they were amping up the security.
Anybody else have any moments you...
I remember 9/11. I was 7 at the time. And I remember it was weird because I, like, didn't sleep in my bed that night. I slept on the couch. And I woke up and my mom had the news on and she was on edge. Like, she wasn't trying to show me. And I didn't understand. And looking back now, like, I remember, I can picture, like, watching the television and seeing what I saw. And, I mean, really.
Even at 7 years old.
Yeah, had a strong effect on you.
You feel the emotions now. I didn't feel them then. And it's interesting to, like, look back on that.
Rob?
Oh, not so much tragedies, per se. Because I, to be honest, haven't spent as much time as I should have watching the news.
It's all right.
Plenty of time for that.
But I've watched some of the you know, presidential things, and those are always a big deal. And seen some of those with my family. So
yeah,
Those are interesting, at least.
All right. Miles?
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that, basically. Again, with 9/11, I'd like dimly remember seeing all the news and stuff about that. But, I mean, I was too young to understand what was going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shootings are probably going to be memorable in the future, but also good stuff like elections and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So the politics, are they a significant part of your lives? I mean, do you follow politics, local, state, national? Are you frustrated with politics like most of the world? Are you? I mean, I don't mean to lead you that direction, but I mean, is it something that you think about? Well, I think, you know, I'd like to. I think I could be a congressman, or I think I could be a city council member. Is it something like, I don't want to get into that?
Probably the latter for me. I don't see myself in that path. But
mm-hmm. Well, my grandma was. She's been in like the Monroe County public. I mean, mm-hmm. government system, and I really just don't want anything to do with government, like in politics, because I feel like I've been talking way too much with a friend of mine who is really on the edge. But like, I feel like the political parties, yes, they're necessary for like our voting and whatnot, because they help you identify if you don't do the research on a person. You can, if they're with a party, you can generalize where their stance is going to be. But I also think that it takes out, it makes the people, you know, they don't have to do the research. They don't have to, you know who's who, know where this person stands on this and where this person stands on this. And I voted this year because I was old enough, and I don't think that they should have the vote all one way, you know, just to click it. And be like, oh, I just voted straight Republican or straight Democrat. I think that you should have to make a conscious decision. Who am I voting for?
Mm-hmm. Did the rest of you vote this year? Were you all old enough?
No, I missed it. Oh,
just Boyd.
2 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other political comments?
I completely agree with Boyd. I mean, I find politics really interesting, and I follow mostly national politics, but I think it is pretty ineffective right now, and I think that I agree with what he said. A lot of people don't really pay attention to what their candidates are actually supporting. And so then people are elected into office and they're doing all these things. And it's like, well, this is what they believe. This is what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times you get that. This is what they said they were going to do. And now they're doing it. Right.
And you voted for it.
That's right. Miles, any last comment on this before we go to a break?
I try to follow as much as I can as well, and I think it's vitally important that everyone does that, because as much as it's easy to get disgusted by the current political situation, whatever side of it you're on, it's still important to maintain an interest in it, because it's important stuff that's getting decided.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're talking with Boyd Haley, Robert Rickert, Callie Rikus, and Miles Ryder today on Noon Edition. All four will be graduating high school here in the next couple of weeks. So if you have any questions or comments, please phone us at 855-0811 in Bloomington or 877-285-9348. And you can also join a live chat at WFIU.org/noon edition. Mary Catherine and I will be back after this short break.
This is Noon Edition on WFIU. Production support comes from Smithville. Information at smithville.net. You can take WFIU with you by downloading our podcasts directly to your PC, Mac, or MP3 player. Programs such as Noon Edition, Ask the Mayor, and Harmonia, and short features like Kinsey Confidential, the Ether Game musical mini quiz, and play and opera reviews are all available on demand. Pick them up at WFIU.org. And have you heard WFIU's news features? The WFIU news team brings you expanded and in-depth reports on topics affecting South Central Indiana. Catch the Friday feature just after 8:30 during Morning Edition, just before Noon Edition, and at 5:45 during All Things Considered. They're also archived on our website, WFIU.org.
Welcome back to Noon Edition. I'm Bob Zaltzberg, editor of the Herald Times, along with co-host Mary Catherine Carmichael. Today we're having one of our well, we have several favorite shows, but this is always one of them. We have four high school students in here with us, spending a day in their last couple of weeks. They could be in class studying really hard, but instead
we're thinking
over here,
up their senior prank. Right. I mean, they're really taking time away.
But they've agreed to come over and talk to us about what it's like to be in high school today and what their plans are for the future. As I said before the break, Boyd Haley is a Bloomington High School South student. Robert Rickert and Callie Rikas also are from Bloomington High School South. And Miles Ryder is from New Tech High School. So if you want to join us, 855-0811 in Bloomington or 877-285-9348. You can join a live chat at wfiu.org/noonedition.
I think toward the end of the show we'll talk about your futures a little bit, but I'd still like to continue kind of our retrospective, if you will, looking back on your time in MCCSC. And I'd be interested to know, and I guess I wouldn't really limit it to MCCSC, but teachers, counselors, coaches, even people that you've been involved with in leadership positions outside of school, if, you know, you've done clubs and activities outside of school. Have you had any role models or particular leaders that have had a special importance to you or have brought you something that you think is significant and you'll take that with you? Callie, you're nodding. Why don't you go first?
Okay. I think the three adults that really stick out to me are Catherine Rodemaker, or C-Rad, who's the drama teacher at South. She's amazing. She's the director of Theater South. And then the other two members of the Theater South creative team, Diane Bizzell, who is our choreographer, and she choreographs pretty much everything you see in Bloomington. She is always busy. And Eric Anderson, our music director. And they're both just incredible, and you really, really get close to the creative team, and so they've definitely been huge impacts on me.
I was just going to ask, how are they incredible? How do they motivate you?
Well, C-Rad definitely drives a hard ship, and she makes you better, for sure, and she always has constructive things to help you with. Diane is just so fun, and she's a brilliant choreographer. She was a professional dancer when she was young. She has a master's degree, and she's just amazingly brilliant at what she does. She really is. And Eric is also really fun, but he's very, very tough. He's a perfectionist, and you're going to stand at the piano and sing it until it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Did that group that you went through theater with, did that get to feel like a second family to you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Great.
Okay. Miles?
Yeah, there's just so many people that I can list since we're such a small school and all the teachers really take the time to get to know the students. But in particular, my freshman year English teacher, Mr. Trotter, he was absolutely fantastic. Always came up with really great projects, and it just really motivational to create great stuff by the end of the project.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Mrs. Novak, of course, she does success skills freshman year, and also entrepreneurship and stuff later on. And she's the one who really pushes us to learn presentation skills and professional dress skills and all that kind of stuff, interview skills, and we always do mock interviews and stuff like that. So, yeah, because when I started New Tech, I was incredibly shy, and basically she forces you in the best way to just stand up in front of the class and do it and conquer that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our staff are great. Carrie Gross, our counselor, and Dr. Colston, who's done some really great stuff with taking the school forward.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Great.
Boyd?
My wrestling coach. I don't know if she's been talking about wrestling, but it's been a really big part of my life. Royce Deckard. Mm-hmm. And he said one time, I actually talked to a friend of mine who'd already graduated. He'd already been through the program. You know, he'd done it for way longer than I had. And he said, Royce is going to push you to your limit, and then he's going to kick you past it and going to give you a new limit to push to. And that's every day. Like, I remember it was a couple years ago. We only lost like two or three matches to a team that he thought we should have shut out.
Mm-hmm.
And the
coach for the other team was somebody who'd wrestled for him. So he knew all of our, you know, all of our stuff. He had our drill sheet and, like, all of our moves. He knew what all the moves were, and he'd been training his kids to, like, to know it. So we lost, like, one or two matches. We beat them, like, 55-3 or something like that. And we next day was Christmas Eve, and we ran 8 miles because we lost two matches or something like, you know. And he pushed us to the new limit, and I don't think – it's one of the first things that I've ever really completed for that long. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'd be the man I am today if it wasn't for him, and I really got to thank him.
So that didn't make you angry. To the contrary, you actually, in retrospect, it did make you angry at the time.
I was angry at the time. And I said, you know, if I don't get to go to Christmas, I'm going to be really mad. But like I said earlier on the program, when I got up to state, every after practice every day, we break down to our – we have a creed. It's called It's All a State of Mind. And after that, we say state champs. And you shake his hand and you look him in the eye and you say, I'm going to be a state champ. And that is the goal. And a lot of times you think, man, I'm just saying the words, man, I'm just saying the words. And he says about 3 or 4 times a week, don't just say the words, mean it. Visualize it and go out there and get it. Which is, I mean, this is what big time professional coaches say, like the coach that coached the Miracle hockey team. He reminds me a lot of him. I heard one time one of the players was describing, and I'm just like, I know that guy.
Now, do you think that – I mean, that lesson, you think – I mean, when you go to get a job, when you go to – you know, in whatever you do, I mean, you're not going to be wrestling for your whole life. Do you think that that's a message that you're going to be able to sort of carry with you?
Yeah. One of the messages I'm carrying with me even now is nothing will be as hard as wrestling. Physically, mentally, any way, shape, or form, I can always accomplish it because I know I've been through tougher. Mm-hmm. And no matter, you know, no matter what it is.
Right. Okay.
That's
Robert?
Great.
You know, just like Miles said, there's a lot of people I like to thank, but I guess I've spent a lot of time playing sports. And when I was younger, I often felt like, you know, I was like, okay, but I wasn't great at anything. And I've had two coaches, the Frisbee coach I mentioned earlier named Adam Schobinger, who's just an awesome guy, and my tennis coach at South, Joe Doyle. He's also, you know, great. And I think from those guys, it really helped when I started playing seriously my sophomore year. It really helped me focus with other things in my life, too, because I was putting more time in, you know, outside of regular practice and stuff and being more focused. And I think that's something you really got to be able to do when you're older, mm-hmm. you know, just find something and really be passionate about it. And so credit them with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of discussion that goes on at the state legislature and up in Congress and everything about, you know, whether kids or, you know, students are learning what they need to learn. You guys have been through all sorts of standardized testing. You know, can you sort of, I mean, evaluate what's going on in your schools? I mean, do you feel that it was rigorous enough that you were pushed enough? What do you think the role of you know, like ISTEP and all these standardized tests are? Where did you feel like people were just teaching you material you would be on a test?
Yeah, and ultimately, do you feel well prepared for the next phase of your life? That's kind of the bottom line.
Miles, I'll start with you.
In general, I'm not too much of a fan of standardized testing. I mean, nobody likes to take it, but I, in particular, I think that the thing that's been going on in Indiana to attach funding to what the school scores on the tests, the ECAs, I think that is going about things in completely the wrong way. Because if you have a school that doesn't do well in a certain section, then they then get their funding lowered, which seems like the opposite, the last thing that you would want to do in that case. So I think that a lot of this is just going about testing the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Callie?
I think that in general, standardized testing and any kind of, you know, core curriculum that is mandated by the government is kind of ineffective. But particularly for elementary schools, it's really just become teaching to the test for a lot of teachers. And that's frustrating for the teachers and for the students because almost no children learn like that. Every kid learns so differently, and I think what's happened is we've been focusing on quantity over quality. We're just saying, oh, well, we just need to get the kids in school longer, and so we're extending our school days, but we're not making more out of the time that we have there, which is what needs to happen if scores are going to go up and grades are going to go up and more kids are going to be going to college.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Boyd?
I actually have, like, a really, really personal opinion on this, mm-hmm. is I don't like the standardized testing. I'm going to Wabash College in Crawfordsville, and one of the things they do there is they focus more on, like, molding you into the person that you can be and giving you the ability to go out there and learn, but they don't focus as much on the test scores. And unlike a lot of, like, other, you know, schools of that size, there's only, like, 1,900 kids there. I shouldn't call them kids. They're men. But there's only 1,900 of them. They focus on a personal aspect to where, like, you know your counselor, you know the principal, or not the principal, it'd be the dean. I've been in high school too long. But you know the dean, you know everybody in the school. And when I went up there on a visit, one of the guys said one of the worst insults you can say there is, I don't know him. That means he's not involved in stuff. And I think it needs to be focused, as far as education, needs to be more focused on molding people into the people that they need to be and not so much on focusing on scores, because I think we have a predetermined, like, you can be this smart, you can be this smart, so why should that hold you back from going to a college you want to? It should be more focused on, you know, is this person a good person? You know, do they deserve this college based on what they've done, not academically, but because the academics will come to you.
Mm-hmm. So more of a holistic look at the person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're accepting a person and not a test score.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a frustration. Yep. Yeah.
Robert? I think it's really easy to criticize that system. I'm not going to sit here and say I love standardized tests, but I mean, I probably don't hate them as much as the next guy. But I think as a whole, they're definitely a worthy indicator. I mean, you know, you're going to have some people that are, fabulous on the SAT and some that are not so fabulous. And maybe that is an indicator of something. I mean, there's a lot to be said for, you know, taking someone like Boyd said for the person they are and the person they can be, but that's a lot more, you know, subjective. Like, what if you were applying to, I don't know, Harvard, and you know you're smart enough and so is someone else in the waiting room, but you just had a horrible day, and you go in and you have this horrible interview, and just because you don't seem like a good person, you're not going to get it. So I think that puts merit on these tests and grades and scores, somewhat, at least.
Okay.
You four are certainly examples of Bloomington's best and brightest. And we're so happy to have you with us here today. But you didn't get here by yourself. I'd like to know some things that your parents did that you felt were really good for you and helped you succeed. What strategies or choices did your parents make with you or for you that led to your success? And would you be willing to start, Rob?
Sure. I remember when I was in third grade, actually, I was in a trip in Michigan with my family, and my brother and I were taking this math, and we just didn't get it totally. So before we could go outside and swim, we had to do these math problems, and it was horrible. It was just awful, and I remember, you know, punch my dad. But, I feel like that's the kind of drive that may have helped me later on, so attribute that to them.
So great. So they did, you know, really pay attention to what you were doing in school, and then challenge you to overcome that obstacle.
Oh, absolutely. I think that really, you know, I think that helps a lot of people. I think that can be, you know, underrated thing, you know, especially at some maybe like less privileged schools or stuff. You see these kids and you think, oh, they're just not smart. They don't get it. But maybe it's they don't have the assistance they need outside of the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they also taught you to get your work done before you go play.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
A lot of lessons in that one little example that you gave. Boyd, do you want to go next?
My parents always stayed on top of me as far as grades and whatnot, and that's always really helped me. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it didn't really be a problem up until, like, high school, because middle school and elementary school are pretty easy. But in high school, you know, when my grades started to slip,
the online.
The Skyward,
the Skyward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're a mom. You know about Skyward.
Right.
You got to get your parent to log in on Skyward. You go in there and check, and, oh, you were missing this day. Where were you? And, you were tardy. Who were you talking to? But they also get on there, and they get on the grades, and my mom's like, you've got this missing assignment. You better go ask the teacher. And, you know, staying on top of me. Kind of like Robert said, except at a younger age. He got it at a younger age, which is probably why he's smarter than me.
Callie?
My parents always set very high expectations for me, but they were very open to what I felt like I needed to do with everything, with school, with extracurricular activities, whatever. They were very, very just open to what I wanted to do, and they always valued my opinions. You know, just because I was a little kid, they didn't completely count out what I had to say. They listened to me, and I think that's why we have a good relationship that we have, because we listen to each other and we don't disrespect each other's opinions. We kind of just try to make the best group decision possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you feel like your parents have shifted from the parental role, excuse me, more to an advisory role?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah, I really agree with a lot of that. My parents had a good combination of, like, paying attention to what I had going on and what I was doing and what my grades were and pushing me to get good grades, but also letting me make my own decisions and be independent to a large extent.
Do you ever feel like you were allowed to fail?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I was, yeah. It never came to that, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I think that it would have been a supportive thing. Like, if I wasn't able to do something, then, okay, here's what we can do to help you get there.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you had a strong reaction to that.
I think I definitely was. You know, I tried a lot of stuff when I was younger, and, you know, my parents were super supportive with that. And I think that, you know, I don't know, helps you develop and stuff, and so I can really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I like being able to fail, I guess.
Boyd, you had a reaction too.
Yeah. I wasn't thinking about it like outside of school, but like inside of school, my parents were just like, you are going to get good grades and, you know, we'll give you all the help you need, but you're going to get good grades. Like, people ask me, oh, you're going to go to college? I'm like, I don't have a choice. I'm going to go somewhere. But like outside of schooling, yeah, they've definitely given me opportunities to fail. Sometimes set me up to fail to teach me a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Did it?
Yeah. Sometimes. Sometimes I'm a little hard-headed enough that it didn't teach me a lesson.
All right. We've got about 10 minutes to go in the program. So if you want to call us and ask questions of Boyd, Robert, Callie, or Miles, you can call us at 855-0811. Or 877-285-9348. You can also join a live chat at wfiu.org/noonedition. So how much does social media mean to you all? I mean, how much time do you spend on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever other things might be out there?
That we're not cool enough to know about.
Yeah, that I wouldn't know about.
Very little. I don't spend much time with that. I mean, I'm sure it's fun. I just don't. Do it, I guess.
Yeah. So you actually talk to people?
Oh, I mean, I'd try to. I'd like to think I'm atypical in that respect, but.
What about YouTube? Do you spend much time checking out stuff on YouTube?
Oh, I mean, there's always gems to find on YouTube if you're on. but I suppose in other times, social media, like Twitter and stuff, no, I'm not on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any of you? Is social media big for you or no?
I feel like the only reason I still have it anymore is because people that are a little bit older than me that really got sucked into it when they were like, they didn't grow up with all we see all the problems with social media, and they didn't grow up, these people didn't grow up with it, and they've made groups, and you have to be part of the group so you can see this, so you can know when your meeting is or whatever, with whatever club you're in. That's the only reason I feel like I still have Facebook or Twitter or anything. I don't really get on Twitter. But I do like online photo stuff, just where like people take cool looking photos and put it online. I like looking at that, but I don't ever do anything with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess I'm kind of the opposite of these two. I'm attached to my phone, mainly for texting, not as much Facebook and Twitter, although I do get on those regularly. But I'm definitely a huge texter.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it really keeps you in touch with all your friends? And mostly your friends. It's mostly a friend thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're all just super busy. And a lot of the time, especially during the school year, you don't have time to see each other even like on a weekly basis. And so just texting to catch up, hey, what are you doing, is really, really helpful. Mm-hmm. In the summer, I've noticed that I'm definitely on my phone less because we have free time and so we're together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do a lot of social media stuff, largely because I run kind of a semi-professional YouTube channel for like technology news and reviews and things like that.
And so that's really part of your future.
Yeah, it could be. Mm-hmm. That's one of the fields I'm thinking of getting into, technology journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So social media plays a big role in kind of marketing myself and getting viewers and building up a base of that. And I feel like it's really a really excellent tool if used properly, because on one hand, stuff like Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr can really suck up all of your time and you don't get anything done. But there are also many examples of people who have used it to create amazing creative works online collaboratively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really great.
Okay. Out of the four of you sitting here, does everybody have a cell phone in your purse or pocket?
Yeah.
Everybody. Okay. Yeah. My favorite. Would you say what percentage of people you go to school with have a cell phone with them at all times?
99.9.
Okay.
My dad has an iPhone. He had an iPhone before I did. And he doesn't even know how to turn on a computer. And like, I still had a little piece of crap flip phone. And I was like, Dad, why do you have that? You don't even know how to turn it on. I had to enter the people in his contacts in.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we keep you guys around.
That's right.
We need you for this.
Right. Okay. So we've heard a little bit about what you're planning on doing, but let's sort of get the full picture of what you're going to be doing next year. And then, you know, do you have sort of long-range plans for where you want to be? Not that you can't change them. You can change them as much as you want, but
and I'd also be interested to hear, as you're answering that question, I'd also be interested to hear if you plan to come back to Bloomington as an adult after school, or if you think that you want to try a different part of the country. Just curious. Mind starting, Rob?
Sure. I'm going to Cornell, as Bob mentioned, mm-hmm. and I think I could definitely see myself going to grad school after that, possibly for med school. We'll have to see what. In regards to coming back to Bloomington, it's a lovely town. I've, you know, totally enjoyed my childhood here. Because I've been here my whole life. And I could definitely see myself coming back, but I wouldn't say it's a certainty. I think I'll definitely want to get away for a while, at least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. I'm going to Wabash and then to Purdue. 3 years at Wabash and then 2 years at Purdue.
What's that program? Tell us about that.
It's a 3-2 program for, like, engineering. I get two majors in five, or two degrees in 5 years. One degree from Wabash and one degree from Purdue. And so, I like Bloomington. I like all the opportunities you have here, but I've never lived anywhere else. I've never, you know, I don't really get to travel all that much, and I'd like to go and live someplace else. But I'll go wherever the money's at.
Yeah, you talked earlier that you feel real strongly. You really want to establish a career and make some money.
Yeah,
What are you going to do with your money?
Buy stuff. This is America. We buy stuff. I really like old cars.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a 1953 Ford 2-door with a straight 6 engine in it right now in my garage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to trade that because part of me with wrestling is my dad. I got him to bribe me to wrestle. I didn't want to wrestle. Really glad I did do it because I explained earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I get a 1972 Chevy Nova, and that was part of the deal. Mm-hmm. This is my dream car, and we're still looking for it. So if anybody out there has a Nova that they'd like to sell me,
uh-huh.
I'd be really interested. But
we'll figure out how to text the radio station, or we'll figure out how to find Boyd if you've got
that. That's right.
Callie?
I'm going to IU in the fall. And I'm majoring in elementary education and minoring in theater. Right now, the plan is after college, I'm going to move to a big city, most likely New York or Los Angeles, and try to work there. but then I'll have my teaching degree, and so I can pretty much work anywhere that I need to, which is great. And hopefully I'll be able to perform professionally, but if I'm not, then I will always be happy in a classroom, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Do you know people from South who have gone on to perform professionally? Do you know?
I know some who have gone on to IU. They haven't graduated
right.
yet.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. That seems like a difficult thing to do.
It definitely is. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really complex sure. field.
Right. Mm-hmm. Miles?
I'm also going to IU in the fall. I'm going to be majoring in informatics, and the minor is going to depend on how they end up restructuring telecom and journalism and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just to get the idea across, I was thinking before the schools got combined, telecom and journalism minor. And in terms of what I'll do, it's kind of hard to say at this point because the technology field is so huge and it's getting bigger every single day.
And changing all the mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. But I mean, I can definitely see myself continuing the journalism that I've been doing up until now. And that could conceivably have me ending up somewhere on the West Coast or maybe New York because that's where all the tech startups are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that actually does, even though it'll be something internet-based, probably it still would matter where you lived.
Yeah. Like I could conceivably do it from here, but like all of the conventions, for instance, or at least many of them are in various places in California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We actually are out of time. Unless anybody has one last thought you want to, you know, we...
Any words of wisdom for the underclassmen coming up?
No, oh, man. Not a single word.
Nothing? Okay.
Don't hug Mr. Hoagland.
Valid.
Teacher named Mr. Hoagland.
We know him. Yeah.
And he gave me a referral.
Oh, he did? For
yeah,
hugging him?
It said...
he's not into that.
Oh, he's not. Okay. He's really... he keeps his space.
Okay. All right. Well, don't hug Mr. Hoagland.
That's the word when you're,
for any of you who are listening or anybody else who might run into him. All right. I want to thank you guys for being here. It's been great. Mary Catherine and I have enjoyed it. I'll speak for her because I know she's enjoyed it. And I've definitely enjoyed it.
Of course.
So our guests have been Boyd Haley, Robert Rickert, Callie Rikus, and Miles Ryder. We've been talking about high school and their plans for the future. So for Mary Catherine, our producers Gretchen Frazee and Emily Wright, and engineer Mike Pashkash, I'm Bob Zaltzberg. Thanks for listening.
Noon Edition is a production of WFIU and the Herald Times. A podcast of this and other WFIU programs is available at WFIU.org.
Production support comes from Smithville, a locally owned business serving central and southern Indiana since 1922 with residential and business internet, voice, and security services. Smithville, local pride, global technology. Information at smithville.net.